You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Hi, welcome to this week's training podcast for the Gospel Project for Kids. Today, we're talking about Unit 19, Session 1, From Adam to Jesus. Now, if you have been using the Gospel Project for Kids in preschool for some time, you are probably familiar with the training videos that have been made available that you can watch on Ministry Grid or watch through gospelproject.com. And we hope that those have been really helpful. However, today we are launching a podcast delivery instead of those videos. One of the main reasons is we just believe this will be easier for leaders to access this content. Again, we hope this is helpful. So we want to make it as easy as possible. And instead of needing to watch a video somewhere, this is a podcast that you can catch on your favorite podcast player. You can still access through Minister Grid and other ways and listen to it on the go. So great win that we have in mind here. And really, honestly, you're not losing anything by not seeing me on a camera. Another win, what I'm really excited about, is that we are now two on this podcast. My name is Brian Dombosik. I have been doing the training videos to this point. With me is Karen Jones, our preschool content editor. Karen, welcome to our podcast.
Yay, thank you. I am so honored to be here.
Yeah, so Karen is able to bring a wealth of experience and knowledge, especially geared toward preschool. So while she's going to be speaking in general and giving tips in general, she also will be able to drill down a little bit more for those of you who use the preschool content. And I'll try to still speak a little bit more for the kids' content. And together, we hope we're able to give you a really helpful preparation time. So again, usually our videos have been maybe 5 minutes or so. Our goal for these podcasts is to each episode to be maybe 10 to 12 minutes long, give or take. And we're going to structure them around answering three big questions about the session. So it'll be the same questions every episode with the content for that session that answers that question. So the first question is this one. What is the big idea of this session? So Karen, why don't you take and run forward? What's the big idea of this session from Adam to Jesus?
Okay, well, we have been pressing through the Old Testament the last year and a half. God's people have been waiting for hundreds of years, and this session shows us that the long-promised Savior is about to be here. He is on the scene. We are transitioning from Old Testament to New Testament, and we're about to see Jesus begin his earthly ministry.
So, big idea, this one is kind of summarizing the Old Testament, really, just one brief genealogy, not hitting everything in there, of course, but it's just kind of a summary, and it was Matthew's way, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course, of showing us that this is a continuation of that story. So if you have been using the Gospel Project, this is a great time to review. If you've not been using the Gospel Project and have jumped in recently, welcome. We're glad you're here. But this is also a great way for you to kind of maybe build in some extra time in your large group if you're able to, and review a few of those stories, or at least that big story arc that got us to this point, to reinforce what the Gospel Project is all about. The Bible is one big story. So, genealogy. Now, this takes us naturally to our second question that we're framing these episodes around, and it is this: are there any areas needing caution or extra prep time? And really, I want to start with the first caution because we've already kind of alluded to it. It's a genealogy. And genealogies can be tough. They can be boring. A lot of times when we're reading through the Bible in a year, we want to read past them, or if not, read them quickly. So genealogy, we got to be careful about that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we were joking earlier. Brian knows that I tend to be a rule follower, so he was teasing me that I probably am really careful to read every genealogy in the Bible. And I do like to do that, but not just because I'm a rule follower, just because there really are some beautiful things in the genealogies. I know sometimes it does get tough, and we're wondering, oh man, what's up with this? Why is this here? But we know that God doesn't waste any part of his word, and so he puts them there for a reason. And I think this genealogy in particular is so exciting because, you see a lot of the names of people from the Old Testament that our kids have been learning about for the last year and a half. So I think it's actually like pretty exciting. I mean, I think it's neat to see how we, in this genealogy, we've been working toward this, and we're finally seeing this promised one we've been talking about, you know, that he is about to be here. And so there's like a lot of hidden gems in there. You know, you hear, you know, women like, women's names like Rahab, Tamar. I just think it's really cool and definitely a great opportunity to help kids see how God keeps his promises.
Yeah, I agree. You know, for me, when I'm like read through the Bible in a year and I get to those, a lot of it's the kind of the summary of the tribes and mm-hmm. who was from what tribe and so forth in the Old Testament. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not a real follower, so I kind of speed read through or skim through them. Mm-hmm. But this genealogy really does. While there's some names that you'll probably come across and say, I don't know who that is, several names, of course, are very recognizable. And Karen, I think what you just said is so critical. There are women mentioned in this genealogy on purpose. And if you notice, they break the cadence of the genealogy. Mm-hmm. So anytime you see a break in the cadence of the genealogy, a woman is attached to it, and there's significance behind it.
Yeah.
We know that a lot of our girls are not used to seeing women of the faith portrayed and taught to them. Usually it's so many men that dominate the story of Scripture.
True.
This is a great opportunity for us to at least hit on them and show how God used women. And several of these women really are there because they demonstrate real godliness.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I think of Ruth and think of her faithfulness. Mm-hmm. You think of Rahab, mm-hmm. and her trust in what God was doing, even more than God's people at that time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Some great opportunities for us to lift up some great stories of women in Scripture.
Yeah.
In light of that, I'll add another challenge that you may face in this session is what we were just talking about. There are a lot of names here, and a lot are hard to pronounce. Now, my strategy is you just fake it, you sell it, you sound convincing, nobody knows any different. Karen, I think you have a different strategy, don't you?
I do. I love the confidence in Brian's strategy, but again, more of a rule follower here. I would prefer to pronounce them correctly, but which can still be difficult. You know, it's hard to read those little pronunciation guides sometimes. But I love an artist named Andrew Peterson. Some of you may be familiar with him, and he has an album called Behold the Lamb of God. He actually does a tour each year around Christmas time, and I've gone to it, you know, quite a few years. But he has a song called Matthew's Begats, and he actually sings the genealogy in Matthew, and it's not at all dry. It's really pretty funny and pretty clever. He kind of throws some fun stuff in there, and so I think just for your own edification and joy, I think that would be a great way to prep for the session, and even just to share with your kids. I think they would really enjoy it. It's a pretty good song.
And that right there is why you're on the show, Karen, because your suggestions are so much better than mine.
Well, you know, Brian, I am a very cultured person, so yeah.
And Andrew Peterson, he's good to listen to.
Yeah, he really like is. Andrew. Yeah, all his music is wonderful.
All right, anything else? What else do we have that we need to keep in view? Any areas of caution or extra prep or anything you can think of?
Yeah, and again, I'm coming from a preschool perspective, so I'm looking at it through that lens. And so I wanted to kind of just address our key passage and big picture question for this unit. You know, our team really, we all get together and we think through and pray through, like, what's going to be the best key passage for each unit. So we went with John 1:1 for this unit, which, you know, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's the preschool version we went with. Kids is a little bit longer. But, you know, it's kind of an abstract concept for preschoolers to hear about the Word and thinking of Jesus as the Word. But we thought it was valuable to go ahead and get it on their radar. And two, even to help them understand that, like, Jesus being born, he didn't just come to exist when he was born, but that he was there at the beginning. I think that just even reinforces the idea that Jesus was there at creation and involved in creation. And so we wanted to go ahead and build in that worldview, you know, even if they don't understand all the particulars of it. I mean, who does understand all the particulars of John 1? And so we wanted to get that on little guys' radars. So it's kind of a abstract verse, but we think it's well worth the abstraction in view of building that biblical worldview.
Yeah, it's one of those key passages you really have to look at the long Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, if you look at it from saying, I want this verse to be able to help this preschooler right now, mm-hmm. may not be able to do that. But if you're thinking is, man, I want to get God's word in his or her heart for the long haul, mm-hmm. so they grow into it, that is an incredibly important verse. Now, my 7-year-old still wrestles with the idea of Jesus being God, but mm-hmm. being born. And we as adults, I mean, mm-hmm. we really can't fully understand this. It's one of those conundrums for us, but it's a truth that we have to teach. And so the more we repeat this, the more we talk about it, even with our preschoolers, it's helping lay the foundation.
Yeah. And that, Brian, leads right into also our big picture question for this unit, which for both preschool and children is Jesus God or human? Preschool answer, Jesus is both fully God and fully human. Kids, as the Son of God, Jesus is both fully God and fully human. Again, that's super abstract and just difficult to understand. I mean, and, you know, theologians have been studying it for years. None of us understands it totally. So I think it's just great, even now, as with children, to help them, you know, to begin to leave this space for the mystery of faith, that
exactly.
there are things we just can't understand in our finite human minds.
And I think my tip on regarding this mm-hmm. would be, we have to be careful not to minimize either.
Yes.
As you just said, it's fully God, fully human, mm-hmm. without mixture or compromise of either.
Yeah.
And it's hard for us to understand, but it's so important. So mm-hmm. don't make the mistake of trying to bring it down to a level a preschooler could understand or a kid.
Yeah.
And making a mistake of actually teaching poor theology by mm-hmm. suggesting they were mixed somehow.
Yeah.
Or compromised in any way. No, when Jesus walked on earth, he was still fully God.
Mm-hmm.
He was fully human.
Yeah.
At the same time, without mixture or compromise of either of those. So just be careful. I think in times like this with my kids in my home, I will just speak truth.
Mm-hmm.
And just, hey, this is what the Bible says. I'm not going to try to come up with a clever illustration. Usually those break down.
Mm-hmm.
The Trinity, the same thing.
All
those usually break down. So don't illustrate it. Just speak the truth.
Yeah.
And know that the kid is not going to grasp it, but neither do we. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's the truth in his or heart and mind. That's what matters.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit can use it.
Exactly.
So, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So let's turn the corner. Let's talk about what we're excited about God potentially doing through this session. So this is our third question, our mm-hmm. third big discussion point. Karen, what do you think you're most excited about?
I think I touched on it a little bit earlier, but I just love seeing, one of the whole goals of the Gospel Project is to help kids see the big picture, grand narrative of the Bible. And so I'm super excited about being able to use our visuals to show this, to illustrate this. So like we have that, hopefully some of you have purchased the Family Line of Jesus poster. And I just think it'll be so cool for kids to see these same images that they've been seeing in these Bible story pictures this last year and a half in that poster, and remembering those stories and like, oh, wow, I remember that. And even like going back and using the giant timeline and small group timelines, you know, to see just that continuity of how God was working his plan out the whole time. And I just think it's just so cool to see how God is working out his plan and that we've been working toward this. And they're seeing how it all fits together. So it's almost seamless from Old Testament to New Testament.
It really is.
Yeah.
And that's what I am excited about. I'm excited about this being a clear story that kids can see that the Bible all fits together.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're now in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Before, up to this point, if you've been doing the Gospel Project with us for a year and a half, you have been in the Old Testament saying, We'll see this in Jesus when we get to the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in the New Testament, and it doesn't start us off with this fast, you know, divide, like we're in a foreign land all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew, he helps us get our bearings mm-hmm. through the Old Testament in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Now, Matthew, of course, as we know, he wrote to the Jewish audience, so he uses a lot more from the Old Testament, quotes and language and so forth, ideas. And that's why he starts here, but it's a great opportunity. Now, with that, again, I think I've said this before, I'll say it again, this gives us the opportunity to dive down into this and spend a little bit more time. In our leader guides, I think we normally suggest maybe a minute or two
mm-hmm.
For the timeline overview. If you can make it work, I would really encourage you to stretch that out for this session at least.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
If if you've been in the Gospel Project, again, this is a great time of celebration. I agree with Karen. I mean, if as you're reading through this, you know, point out to these stories where in the timeline where we've been. If you're new to the Gospel Project, again, then this is a great opportunity for you to at least do a little bit of review. So great opportunity to connect the Old and New Testament. Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm excited about is that this passage is a great reminder of God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
That you think about the promises he had made, and you think about him working through people, mm-hmm. and we see he is faithful, he is kind, he is gracious, he takes sinners and does great things through them, he provides forgiveness through Jesus. So this just emanates this idea of God's faithfulness that we really want to help our kids understand and grasp onto.
Yeah, just that he does what he says he's going to do. Yeah, definitely.
So Karen, I think that is a great place for us to wrap up with this episode. So thank you for listening to today's episode of the podcast. We hope you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. And for more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.